back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Welcome back, everybody. Episode 413 of Rams Up, and we'll talk real quickly about a player who wore number 13. I'm going to go way back in my time machine and talk about one of the great Ram running backs from the dark ages, it seems, Tank Younger, went undrafted out of Grambling University and went on to become a member of the Rams' Bull Elephant backfield along with Deacon Dan Taller and Dick Horner. Tank Younger, Paul Tank Younger, number 13 for the Rams, a four-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, and an NFL champion. And he was the first NFL player from an HBCU, historically black college and university. And he was also the first black player to play in an NFL All-Star game and the first league's black assistant general manager. And that was with the Chargers. Now, he wore number 13 from 1949 to 1951 for the Rams. And from 1952 to 1957, he wore number 35. And I got a picture of him wearing number 11 in a Rams uniform. So I don't know where that came from, but he's our number 13 for the Los Angeles Rams. And I have a random draft trivia question for you. The Rams drafted really well in the 1970s. One of the reasons they were getting to the NFC Championship game virtually every year. 1977 was pretty special. In the second round, they selected Nolan Cromwell. They got Bill Waddy in the second round, Wendell Tyler in the third round, Vince Ferragamo in the fourth round. But who was their first round pick? And none of you are going to get this. I bet you not a single one of you can get this without using Google or Siri to help you out. Give you a hint here. He was a linebacker out of Ohio State, first round pick, number 23 overall in 1977. The answer at the end of this episode. Some news and notes. The Rams have re-signed wide receiver Tyler Johnson. Wasn't sure of his status as of a couple of days ago, but Rams are bringing him back. He was only active in one game last year, and that was the win over the 49ers. Had a touchdown in that game, so I'm a fan. He really fits the Rams' profile as far as wide receivers go. 6'1", 206 pounds, right in that Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua wheelhouse. And he was a fifth-round pick in 2020 of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he's got some talent, got a good shot at sticking on this roster this year. As far as getting on the field, that remains to be seen, and that could be dictated by what the Rams do in the draft as well. So right now, their wide receiver room getting full. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, and Demarcus Robinson, the starters, Tutu Atwell and Ben Skowronek, can expect both of them to contribute, and then Xavier Smith and Tyler Johnson, and we'll see an addition in the NFL draft almost for sure. Early, mid-rounds, late, your guess is as good as mine. And there was a lot of excitement about Jake Bates kicking for the Michigan Panthers of the UFL, hit a 64-yarder. Nailed it, the game winner, 24-year-old kicker, and he had a bit of a journey through college, a soccer player at Central Arkansas, then went on to Texas State, and then on to Arkansas in the SEC. Got signed by the Texans, appeared in the preseason, kicked a couple of extra points, but this guy has strictly been a kickoff specialist, and hey, you know what? I'd be all for getting this guy into camp and seeing if he can get it done as far as field goals go, but I think we need to pump the brakes on the prospect of him being the solution. Almost zero field goal experience coming into this year, and now he's in the UFL. I'm not sure I want to put all my eggs in that basket quite yet. So the Rams have brought back Tyler Johnson, one of their own free agents. Jordan Fuller, Coleman Shelton, and Tremaine Ankrum have signed elsewhere. Those are some other Ram free agents. There's a bunch of Ram free agents still out there, and I'm going to do a quick rundown and consider, do any of these guys have a chance of coming back to the Rams just like Tyler Johnson did? Are they going to follow Tyler Johnson back to Los Angeles? First up, Akello Witherspoon. I think he missed his window if he wanted to come back to Los Angeles. Don't see the Rams adding him. Now that the Rams have added Darius Williams and Tre'Davious White, not going to happen with Witherspoon. He'll get a good contract somewhere, though. Austin Trammell, you know, don't really see a need for him. Tyler Johnson back in the fold. They're going to use a draft pick on a wide receiver, most likely. I suppose he could come back after June 1st, but doubtful. Brett Maurer, the kicker, a hard no. Brian Allen, the center. You know, interesting. I thought he would have landed somewhere already. He's a really talented guy in the right scheme. I could see it happening maybe after the draft if the Rams can't get the interior offensive lineman depth they are probably looking for, but still kind of doubtful. Bryson Hopkins, with the injuries to Hunter Long and Tyler Higbee, I suppose it's possible, but doubtful. Carson Tinker, the long snapper. Now, the only reason the Rams brought him on in the first place was because of the injury to Alex Ward, so I don't see that happening. Carson Wentz, the Rams have clearly opted for Jimmy G instead. Duke Shelley. Now, here's a guy I could see the Rams bringing back, but man, they have added so much to that secondary already. They're really deep there as well. I might take Duke Shelley over a couple other guys on this roster, but suppose it's possible, doubtful though. And John Johnson, maybe, just maybe they bring back Johnson to solidify that safety group. Maybe they want John Johnson playing next to Cameron Curl instead of Russ Yeast and keep Quentin Lake at that star position, covering slot receivers and such. So it's possible, but I think there are some safeties, some talented safeties in the draft that can be had in the fourth or fifth round as well. So Johnson is a possibility, probably wouldn't happen until after the draft, though. And Troy Reader, I just don't see the point of bringing Troy Reader back. And what you have to remember is, a lot of Rams writers and commentators out there talking like free agency is over and now it's draft season. And, you know, I take that tact as well as far as content goes, but the Rams are going to sign some more guys. They're going to sign guys right before the draft, right after the draft, and right after June 1st. Happens every year. Free agency is not over. It's never over, really. So don't be surprised if the Rams make some more moves. My guess is in between the draft and right after June 1st, the Rams will add a couple of guys. Maybe no one significant, but there will be some additions. And as far as I know, the Rams still haven't figured out where they will hold a training camp, but it won't be at UC Irvine. The New Orleans Saints announcing they will use that facility this year and this year only. The dates are down, though. OTA offseason workouts May 20th and 21st, May 23rd, May 28th and 29th, May 31st and June 3rd through 6th, and the mandatory mini camp June 10th, 11th, and 12th. And one bit of draft news, the Rams have had a private meeting with Washington offensive tackle Troy Fuatanu. Now, this is a guy that can play pretty much anywhere across the offensive line except for center. Very versatile. And I think this is an indication of the fact that the moves the Rams have made gives them a lot of flexibility as far as how they approach the draft. I was crossing offensive line off my list early in the draft for the Rams anyways. Starting to rethink that, especially with this meeting. Rams checking all the boxes and making sure they have all the data they need in case a guy like Fuatanu slips to number 19. And hey, they could take an offensive lineman. I could see that happening. If they go best player available, offensive line, wide receiver are still on the table, even interior offensive line. We'll have to see what happens. I'm going to close this episode out. You know, we go on and on about how good the Rams have been in the draft. And I'm going to be a pessimist here. I'm going to be a negative Nancy for a few moments, and I'm going to highlight some of the picks that went south for our Los Angeles Rams. Read down a list of that. My worst 10 picks in the Les Snead era. Back in a second. we do a pretty good job of celebrating the successes the Rams have in the NFL draft, especially over the last few years. But sometimes we got to do a reality check. The Rams have had their share of misses, and as we head into the heart of draft season, at least the heart of draft prep season, I thought now would be a good time to look back and see where did the Rams miss badly in the draft, or at least sort of kind of bad. Some of these are real bad, some of them just not so great. And what I did is I built a list of 10 picks in the Les Snead era that I have a feeling he would want to do over again. Just for clarity, the only draft picks I'm considering here are first, second, third, and fourth round picks. You get into the fifth round and certainly the sixth and seventh round, I have a difficult time giving a bad grade for those draft picks. So let's walk through this, counting down from the 10th worst pick. I'm going to have to say Bryson Hopkins, the tight end, fourth round pick, number 136 overall in 2020. Had 13 catches for 196 yards in regular season games and really shined in that playoff run to the Super Bowl. And I'm kind of torn on this one because I don't know how much of this is Bryson Hopkins' fault or Les Snead's fault. Maybe it falls on the lap of the coaching staff, or maybe it was just circumstances, Bryson Hopkins not really getting his opportunities. But I have a feeling if they were going to do this over again, Bryson Hopkins would not be the selection. And by the way, I computed these rankings using mathematics, a process I have been developing, not ready for prime time yet, calculating a player's expected value based on where he was drafted and what that player delivered. And you come up with a ratio, and there you go. But it needs some refinement. The 9th worst pick, the offensive tackle, Andrew Donnell, 4th round pick, 119 overall. In 2015, Donald had 6 starts over his 5-year career. Number 8, the 8th worst pick, running back Isaiah Pede, a 2nd round pick, number 50 overall in 2012. Now, he had some issues he had to deal with. He tore his ACL. He had some substance abuse issues, I think. I know he was suspended. I don't know the nature of that, if it was performance-enhancing drugs or what, but regardless, he did get suspended. And then at the end of his career, a really serious car accident. So really sad ending for Isaiah Pede as far as his NFL career went. Had some really serious challenges, but certainly did not pay off from a draft perspective, that's for sure. The 7th worst pick, Brian Quick, the wide receiver. And you know, Quick had a decent career, 114 catches for 1,593 yards and 10 TDs for the Rams, but a 2nd round pick, number 33 overall, yeah, not the best use of a prime draft pick. And the 6th worst, Jacob Harris, a tight end slash wide receiver. I don't think the Rams could ever quite figure out what he was. A 4th round pick, number 141 overall in 2021. And by the way, Harris on contract with the Eagles on a futures reserves contract, so maybe he'll bounce back and he'll end up having a decent career. The 5th worst pick, Brandon McGee, the cornerback, a 4th round pick in 2013, the 149th pick overall. He appeared in 17 games, never started, and finished his career with 18 tackles. The 4th worst pick, and I remember Ram fans were really pumped when Les Snead drafted Barrett Jones, the center, in the 4th round, number 113 overall in 2013. Had an incredible college career, just did not translate to the NFL. Had a very short career, ended up playing in 10 games. The 3rd worst, another offensive lineman, Jamon Brown, the offensive tackle, 3rd round, number 72 overall. We needed offensive line help really bad in 2015. Jamon Brown did not deliver. Stayed in the league for 4 years, appeared in 42 games, but I think he was borderline bust from the Rams' perspective. And number 2, and this guy could still go in either direction. He could work his way out of this 10, or he could end up being number 1. Logan Bruss, the guard, a 3rd round pick in 2022, number 104 overall, has yet to appear in an NFL game. Hey, we'll see if he bounces back. Maybe there's hope for him, but right now he sits at number 2. And number one, you all saw this coming, Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle, the second overall pick in 2014, same year the Rams drafted Aaron Donald. You know, his career wasn't horrible. 70 starts over his career, 42 with the Rams, but never played at a high level. And hey, we're talking about the second pick in the draft, right? You got to get more out of the second pick. And man, this was just a really bad draft pick. Interesting that these 10 picks, five of them were offensive linemen in the top four. Robinson, Bruss, Brown, and Jones, all offensive linemen. Now on the upside, only three of these over the last few years, that would be Hopkins, Harris, and Bruss. So Les Snead is getting better. But he started out kind of slow. 2012, Isaiah Pete and Brian Quick. And 2013, Brandon McGee and Barrett Jones. 2015, Andrew Donnell and Jamon Brown. But things have gotten better over the years. Les Snead refining his craft. Data analytics at work here. He is getting better. But there you have it. My 10 worst picks for Les Snead as the Rams general manager. Overall, he does a great job. But just goes to show you how difficult it is to nail picks. We like to think, hey, Rams have 11 picks. They're going to come away with a haul. You never know. You hit on 50, 60% of these guys, you should be pretty happy. And who was that first round pick, number 23 overall in 1977 by our Los Angeles Rams? Bob Brzezinski, the linebacker out of Ohio State. That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at laramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.